Okay, turn to Exodus chapter 10 as we continue with the plagues that God has brought on Egypt and the purposes that he's had for that. And we've been through, we're down to the near the end of the plagues. We've seen some plagues to begin with that were just kind of nuisances. You know, the water turning to blood. It says that the fish died, that there was a stink in the land. That's a nuisance that they had to deal with. we saw the frogs, and the frogs took over and were everywhere. And then the frogs died, and they had to carry them out and pile them up. And obviously there was a stench involved there. Then the lice and the irritation that they were. And then the flies and dealing with the flies everywhere. And then the livestock dying. Remember as we went through all of these. What was next? You remember? Boils was next, yep. Where they were, that people individually had to actually deal with something physical. Health-wise themselves, they had to deal with the boils. And then the hail that destroyed a lot of the plant life there. And then we saw, even as shared in Scripture, God's purposes. The first purpose that he had that was mentioned was that you know that I am the Lord, right? And that you know that I have power on earth and that my name would be spread throughout the earth. So God had, we saw multiple purposes, not just to bring Pharaoh to the point that he would let his people go, but God had other purposes as well. He was there to, or one of the other purposes that he had was to show himself to the people of Egypt, and for that matter, to the world, and show his power, and that he was the one and only true God. After all, Egypt was not a small country, right? It's not a small little country in the corner or somewhere that nobody knew about. Egypt was a mighty power in the land at that time. And there's no way that these plagues took place without the news going out. You know, they didn't have, you know, whatever, ABC, CBS, NBC to broadcast this stuff or the internet to see it, but the word still went out. The world knew what was going on in the land of Egypt. This wasn't hidden. And the world understood or would come to understand that God was in charge here and brought these forth. And then the last plague we talked about last week, remember, was the locusts. So whatever green there was left, chapter 10, verse 15 says, "And they did eat the locust, every herb and all the fruit of the trees, which the hail had left." So the hail had left something. Remember, it talked about the hail had left part of the crops because part of them weren't up yet. And it had destroyed a lot of the vegetation, injured people, killed livestock. But there was still some left until the locust came. And if you continue on in that verse, it says, "And there remained not any green thing." Can you imagine that, looking out the window this morning and not seeing anything green out there?
Like wintertime.
Yeah. It kind of be like when, of course, even in wintertime, we got pine trees around here, right? But nothing. This was devastation on the land of Egypt. I mean, this affected their economy. It affected their entire means of living. I mean, after all, if you've got no green herb, no green anything, you don't have crops, you don't feed your animals, this was devastation. And that's probably why, if you jump to verse 17, when Pharaoh said, "Go entreat the Lord," of course he kind of falsely admits that, "Forgive me, I pray thee, my sin only this once." He says, "Go entreat your Lord," or "go entreat your God, that he may take away from me this," what? In that verse, he calls it this death, because even Pharaoh realizes that this is massive devastation on the land. and at the point that they had come to. And of course, God hardened his heart and Pharaoh did not release the people. We come to verse 21 this morning is where we pick up where we're at. And the Lord said unto Moses, I got to back up one second. Remember, as we looked at the plagues, they seemed to run in groups of three. Remember the first of the group of three, like number one, number four, number seven. I seem to get it right. They go to see Pharaoh early in the morning. The second in the set of three, they just go to see Pharaoh, but it doesn't say early in the morning. And then the third one of each set of three, which this is the ninth one, there is no announcement of what's going on. It just, God tells Moses, but as far as an announcement to the people, he doesn't. So what does he tell Moses? And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, and that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be fell. I'm going to read a couple more verses. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Yeah, yeah.
If you were near the border.
Yeah, yep. So, first off, some try to explain this. There was what was known as, Khamsin, which is dust storms. And some try to explain this as, well, there must have been a massive dust storm that just encompassed that area so they couldn't see. Well, excuse me, but even in a dust storm, there's some light, right? It's not like it's total darkness. And to try to explain this naturally is to try to explain away God's capability of doing these things. Let's look at actually what it says. Two descriptions we have of the darkness that came over the land. One was even a darkness that may be felt. Ever think about that? What's a darkness that you can feel?
Pretty dark.
That's pretty dark, right? Another description, end of verse 22, it says, and there was a thick darkness. I looked up this word thick. You know what it means? Darkness. There's a darkness. Have you ever been... Have you ever been in darkness where you cannot see anything? Now you could take, some of us have. You could say, okay, I can go in my closet and there's no light in there. Okay, yeah, there's no light. There might be a little light covering. Okay, you could cover yourself with a blanket. I mean, you could make it darkness, but that's not really, you're making it that way. That's not a darkness that you're going to feel. Usually a darkness like this is a darkness, for instance, if you're in a cave, if you're underground. And many caves that you're in underground, either some that you're exploring on your own, you have a flashlight, or it's lit. And you've been to caves where it's lit, and you walk around. And usually at some point in that tour, they will do what? They will turn the lights off. And usually, last one we went to, they warn you ahead of time, don't they? Because it's quite an experience to be in a cave and not be able to see your hand right there. You can't see anything. That's a darkness that's felt. And that's why they warn people ahead of time so that there's not a panic. In that case, you realize that the last time we went to a cave and they said, okay, we're going to turn the lights off. You know what Bonnie did? She grabbed a hold of my hand. You know why? Because you want some kind of some kind of comfort or something. You know, I need to know that you're still standing by me, because when the lights go out, if I'm not touching you, I don't know where you are. This is a darkness itself. This is a darkness, if you will. This is a thick kind of darkness. A deep gloom. There you go. This went on for how long?
3 days.
Can you imagine being in a cave? Well, they weren't in a cave, but still, that idea of being in the cave for that long a period of time. When they turn out the lights, they turn them out for a couple of minutes while they're talking. And then they'll have a little chat while the lights are out, blah, blah, blah.
Then they light a match.
Yeah.
How much light?
3 days they went with no light. Now, you want to start, okay, are you telling me that nobody in Egypt had a candle that they could light and get some kind of light? That's what I'm saying. If they had a candle, it didn't work. When it says there was no light, I believe that there was no light whatsoever. This word also means to grope around. You know, when there's no light and you can't see a thing, how do you find your way around? You know, you're doing this. Now, even at home, where you're used to where things are, you don't walk around like this in the dark, do you? Not unless you're willing to stub your toe or bust your knee or something. You're still groping around. 3 days. How long do you think it took before panic set in? Did they know it was coming? No. I'm trying to paint the picture here so you get the idea of what's going on. 3 days of darkness. How long before you'd get nervous about the fact that your lights went out and you can't see a thing? You know, we go through blackouts or brownouts or whatever. You know, the power goes out during a storm, and okay, the power will come back on eventually. Might be a day or two or whatever, but there's still light around. No light, even to the point where what? They saw not one another, and neither rose any from his place for 3 days. Now, did this mean that they all sat in the chair that they were sitting in? I not necessarily, but they didn't go out of their house, because even though you might be familiar with your surroundings at your house, once you get outside, you don't know what's going on out there. So they stayed at home. You know what else that meant? What was one of the things that we know that the people of Egypt did all the time? Worshiped different gods, right? What was one of the greatest, most important gods that Egyptians worshiped? You know? The sun god. Now we know that each, I'm getting to you, Jim, I see your hand. We know that each of the plagues pointed towards one of the gods that they worshiped, but this was their greatest god. And God said, you know what? I'm turning the lights off. No matter what you worship, what your God says, the lights are going off, and they're going to stay off for 3 days. And there's going to be no light in the land of Egypt anywhere. Go ahead.
God's quarantine.
Yeah, God's quarantine. And as with the others, and maybe more so this time, the amazing fact that it was isolated. Because the Israelites didn't have the same circumstances. It wasn't dark there. They still had light in their homes. And I don't think, you might say, okay, well, that means their candles worked. I don't think so, because I think, like Pastor said, there was some kind of wall, curtain, something. God blocked off their area. I think the Israelites had sunlight still shining on their land. They went about their daily business like they were supposed to. Because I know that God is capable of doing that. I don't have to try to explain this in some natural phenomenon to try to take away the power of God. Because God could easily do this, right? After all, who created the light? So I guess if he wants to eliminate light in one place or another, a thick fog. Yeah. Yep.
He could have blinded them
Yeah. So we see God performs this plague upon the land. 3 days they go without light, but Israel had light. Again, God separated the people of Israel, his people, his special chosen people, and we saw the fact that he kept them from this, like he has kept them from many of the plagues. And Pharaoh called unto Moses. Wait a minute. When we get to chapter 11, we'll read this and we'll talk about that in a minute. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. So after the 3 days of darkness, obviously, Moses more than likely is in the land of Goshen with the Israelites. So Pharaoh has to call, say, Moses, come. Remember, we talked about this before. So Moses comes and talks to him. It's got to be after the 3 days because he can't find Pharaoh in the darkness, right? Pharaoh can't send somebody to go find Moses and come before me if the guy that he's sending to go find Moses can't even find his way out of the palace or whatever it is, right? So Moses, come talk to me. He says to Moses, like he has before, go serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. What was Pharaoh's compromise last time? Remember, leave your little ones here. You can go, but leave your little... Pharaoh is constantly trying to compromise what God has told Moses he wanted. God told Moses, you and your family and your flocks and everything go 3 days' journey to serve and worship me. And Pharaoh constantly wants to compromise that and come up with something other than that. To Moses' credit, he never compromises. He sticks with God, what God told him to do, which unfortunately, sometimes we catch ourselves compromising, right? Sometimes we don't stick to what we know God has told us to do, and we compromise. So to Moses' credit, he didn't do that. Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifice and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not a hoof be left behind, for therefore must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. In other words, we don't know specifically what the Lord is going to request of us till we get there, but we need to take everything. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and we know that God has done this, and he would not let them go. Then we see Pharaoh kind of taking things to the next level. Pharaoh said unto him, get thee from me. In other words, what's he saying? Get out. Pharaoh has come to the point where instead of just saying, yeah, I'm not going to agree to this, and you go, he's actually telling them to get out, and he goes even farther. He says, take heed to thyself. See my face no more, for in the day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die. Pharaoh has taken this to a new level, hasn't he? Maybe by this time, Pharaoh has seen a lot of what God can do. And we've talked about this before. Pharaoh's battle with God and admitting who God is. So he threatens Moses and Aaron. Keep Aaron in mind here. Next time you see me, you're dead. I've had enough. We're done. And Moses says in verse 29, and Moses said, thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face no more. So Moses says, you know what, you're right. I'm not going to see your face anymore. Specifically not in the circumstance where I come before you and tell you that there's a plague coming and you have an opportunity to release the people, or after a plague you come and, or I come to you and you say, go and treat your God to take the plague away. We do know that after the next plague that God brings, that they see Pharaoh one time, but we'll get to that. As we get into chapter 11, it kind of doesn't make sense here unless you look at verse 1 through 3 as a like a parenthesis of something that God had told Moses before. And it kind of really fits best between verse 23 and 24, at least in my mind it does, of the previous chapter. So the darkness comes, and after the darkness, Pharaoh says, Moses, come to me. I want to talk to you. And they have this conversation, but to me it actually fits. Like, on the way to go see Pharaoh, God says to Moses, and we'll read it that way, verse 1 through 3. So on his way to see Pharaoh, God says, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will bring one plague more. Now, we know there was one more to come, right? The death of the firstborn. So this would fit there. It wouldn't be before the plague of darkness, because then there was two more, right? So somewhere in there it fits. And he says, I will bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go. So God has been letting Moses know that Pharaoh's not going to let you go. Pharaoh's not going to let you go. But this time, he will. Let's keep reading. Afterward, he will let you go. When he shall say, let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. In other words, this isn't just, okay, you can go. This is, again, get out. And we'll see once we get farther along that that's what the people said. Get out of here. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow. And this word borrow should be ask, not borrow, because they didn't borrow these things. They were given these things. They asked of the Egyptians, and the Egyptians gave them to them. Ask of his neighbor and every woman of their neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, and you can understand that because everybody knows that Moses and Aaron were the ones that went and talked to Pharaoh, and that word had gotten out as well, and that then Pharaoh calls for Moses and Aaron and come talk to him, and Moses goes and entreats God, and God takes the plague away. So obviously that was known throughout the land. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt and in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. And then it says, and Moses said thus, and he's speaking to Pharaoh again. So it fits if you take these three verses, 1 through 3, and stick them before Moses goes in and talks to Pharaoh again. So on his way to meet Pharaoh, God says to Moses, there's one more plague coming, and after this next one, he will let you go. And in the meantime, you tell your people to go to their neighbors and ask for jewelry and gold and silver, and I will give them favor of the Egyptians, and they will give you their gold and silver. And we know that that took place as we continue on. If verse 29, where it says, and I will see you no more, and Moses says, that's right, I'm not going to see your face anymore, it doesn't really follow or make sense that verses 4 through 10 are separate, but if they were at the same time. In other words, Pharaoh says, you're going to get out of here. I don't want to see your face anymore. And Moses has a chance to reply and says, yes, you're right. I will see you no more. And before he leaves Pharaoh's presence, he says, and Moses said, verse 4, thus saith the Lord, before I leave, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. Now, if Moses had gone out and come back in, then he would have seen Pharaoh's face again, right? And he would have had to share this information with Pharaoh, disconnected with the other. So it fits that verse 1 through 3 is tucked in the previous chapter, and then we'll see once we get to chapter 12 that actually that probably takes place before the darkness. But stick with me. So he says, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservants that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beasts, not just sons or daughters firstborn, but the firstborn of the animals as well. All the firstborn. And great stock was put in the firstborn in the land of Egypt. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be any more. This event is going to cause something that has never taken place before and never will take place again in history. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue. In other words, in the land of Israel, nothing's going to happen. What happens when a dog moves his tongue? Okay, not even a dog is going to bark or move his tongue against anybody. That's how calm it's going to be, against man or against beast. Anybody got a dog and the dog sees a squirrel out in the yard? What's he do? He goes nuts. He's not going to bark against an individual, a stranger, or even another beast. That ye may know that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger or indignation. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of the land. This fits while Moses is still in Pharaoh's presence. He pronounces this last plague, this last event that God has told Moses is going to take place at midnight. Remember some of the other ones where the next day, tomorrow, this is going to happen? At midnight, this is going to happen, Pharaoh. And again, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. So Pharaoh had an opportunity, but God hardened his heart. And again, some may say, well, that's not fair. God is fair. God is just. But we see that God is also capable of accomplishing his will, isn't he? Sometimes through miracles, sometimes not, sometimes in common things. Darkness had never come like this before. This last plague that we're going to see as we talk about it next time has never happened before. But God still works his will and his way through our lives, through circumstances, maybe not miraculous circumstances, but even through everyday life, right? God works his will in his way because our God is the one true living God that's capable of doing all of these things. We'll continue on next time. Lord bless you this morning. You're dismissed.